games people play now. Every night and every day now. Never meaning what they say now. Never saying what they mean. While they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da.
I don't have a black limousine.
That might be the Chuck and Nancy song.
Yeah.
I think it's a hearse, actually.
Oh, could be.
Yeah. It's that other black limousine.
Yeah. Not the good one.
And I know we're going to probably cut out the news on the archive, but during the news they were saying they had wolves on the border that have returned from extinction.
Ah, Trump did it.
I know. I'm sure he's going to be blamed
sealing
for that.
Up the border. Yep.
That's the border wall right there. Release wolves. We've always joked about that, but apparently there's something to it.
Yeah.
God's a funny man. He decided to help us out, bring back some wolves from extinction and put them along the border. What are you giving me the hurry up sign? Bill's giving me the hurry up sign. I just want to, you know.
I want to get back to business.
Look, you are the fun killer of fun killers today.
He's trying to keep us on track here.
Good Lord. It's really hard. It's really hard. We have a puppy in our house temporarily. We're taking care of my mom's puppy.
Yeah,
and I'm finding myself kind of, you know, being like the puppy
nice.
A little bit.
We don't care about that. Okay, great. Well, my name is Bill Cunniff. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local Kubota tractor dealer. And they are at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, right south of Phil's Propeller. So go up and see them if you need a tractor worked on. Check out their spring special in their service department. Get some work done on your tractor. If you need it done, now's the time to do it.
And your mower.
And your mowers,
and your mower.
Yeah,
not just your tractor.
Yeah, tractors, mowers, any farm equipment, they can work on it. And their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at redingtractors.com. And
that's where we got the picture of the Kubota tractor where our engineer, photoshopped Lyle onto it.
It wasn't photoshopped. I remember him going to the store and riding that tractor.
Real.
Yeah,
it just looks photoshopped.
She just put the hat on.
Now, that was before the pole got in the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
This was before
you wrecked the tractor. I'll be adding that.
Wrecked the tractor. That's harsh.
Although
it wasn't wrecked. I mean, a tow truck came.
It implies insurance and
all
that.
Usually when you crash into something like that, you don't jump in your car and run away. But, we didn't care. It was all right.
Well, I thought you wanted to go to the Dairy Queen, so I took off.
I'm just glad there wasn't any whiplash involved. So there we are.
So much fun. So, yeah, let's see. There was something else. Oh, I know. And Zimbabwe was in the little news break here, the 5-minute news break. Interestingly enough, I had a conversation with a woman from Zimbabwe who came here to claim asylum. Oddly enough, she's angry that our country has not found her a job and a place to live. And now they want to deport her 3 years later. But she's not going to leave until we compensate her for lost wages. For the time that she's been here, because
we are not
following the UN. We're bound by all this UN regulation. It's like, well, there's US and then there's UN. And
well, you know, I'm glad you brought that little joke up, but it's not a joke.
It's kind of real,
exactly,
actually.
What's happening. The UN has passed this dictum that all nations have to take in all people, and no longer will there be sovereignties. It's part of the growing movement that the socialists, you're going to hear a lot more of, the social democrats are pushing. That's why they don't want borders, they don't want boundaries, they don't want the constitution. We're to go into a new world order, a whole community of nations living together side by side, kumbaya.
And somehow people who come here are, you know, like we owe them everything.
Correct.
Which is just crazy.
Well, and that's what's happening with these caravan people, excuse me. That's what's happening with these caravans. When we uncovered the, about 80% of them were males, 16 to 35. And then Bruce, when you have him on, he'll say, I think his group was 16 to 40, something like that. But they're all males. And they did have women and children. Yes, they did, but they would put them up front for all the photo ops every time there was going to be one. And most of those were staged, by the way. But that way, the hearts, are, all the liberal hearts were breaking because look at all these poor little kids and all these women and oh my gosh. And yet when you really break down the pictures, and there's enough of them now out on different sources, you can just check it on yourself. They all have clean clothes, good tennis shoes, nice backpacks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Smartphones.
Where are they getting all this? Yeah, smartphones.
I was going to ask you that, like your guy in the caravan, what's he saying about guy or guys or gal or gals, whoever's in the caravan, how is this being funded? Food trucks, porta potties, all that stuff? Somebody's paying for it.
There are, yeah, I can't get into the specifics because it's restricted, but what I can tell you is that we uncovered, and law enforcement has this information and it's been verified, Hollywood types have funded these caravans, and of course the Soros group has covered a lot of it, but so have several other places. And there's also a nation that's been involved, not Mexico, but a nation that's involved that also has given tremendous funds to help support all this. And what has happened is the logistics are just immaculate. They had the tractor trailers and the trains that have been reported moving people, buses moving people. One day my pilot saw 12 buses, figure 50 to 60 people per bus. You know, it's only 300, 350, whatever. But there was a couple of caravans of buses, and what they would do is they'd move them from one sector up to the next holding space. And we uncovered the holding spaces, which I can't discuss. And in those holding spaces, they had tents set up, food, porta potties, et cetera, et cetera. They had clothes piles, and they would come in and pick clothes, shoes, whatever, tennis shoes. So all of this is very orchestrated. This is not spur of the moment.
No, and I think it's all designed to get them to the border, apply pressure, and see how many we can get across.
That's absolutely correct. But I'm going to go one step further and agree with what you just said, but I want to add a postscript, and that is it's to embarrass Mr. Trump. It's to put so much pressure on President Trump that all he is doing is defending himself instead of legislating, if you will, or being an executive. The bitterness, I don't know the right adjectives to use here, but the bitterness of him taking the election, as they will say, from Hillary is uncontrollable, still is. And what you're going to see over the next 2 years is a form of a civil war, political civil war, in that the subpoenas are going to start flying immensely about on everyone and anyone connected to Trump so they can neuter him and keep him from doing what he intends to do. I just got a report during the five-minute break there, and again, I can only say this, but I'm going to do it for you guys because you're so kind to me all the time. Even though you don't
didn't
send
see that
me a
Photoshop
check.
Picture yet, did you?
Well, you Photoshop and then you don't send me a check, but Stock still gets a check. He comes on one time. One time. I've been on what?
I told her that was a mistake.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, okay, it was $1.85, but still, it was a check. I mean, I didn't get anything. In fact, Aaron keeps sending me these little bills saying I have to pay for airtime. I don't know what that's all about, but anyway.
I sent you a telegram. Let's be truthful here.
Yeah, that's right. You did. You sent me a telegram. Stop. I just got this report from my pilot who just came back, just landed. He's now identified, and he had law enforcement people with him. 8,000 in a caravan.
Oops.
On
new
their
one?
Way inbound. This is a new caravan, and they've identified. Actually, the report is 8,000 plus.
Wow.
I apologize. I really mean this. I kid around a lot and play, but I apologize for 30 seconds here. I don't mean to be weird or mysterious. I can't tell you anymore, and I can't tell you the locations and all that, but he just identified, because we've been looking for this for about a week or so since we knew there was 15,000, which we had unconfirmed. Now he has located 8,000, and I've got all the details, so after the show I will do a report and send it up to various places, which is very exciting because now we have specifics. We have longitude and latitude. We have the locations, and we have photograph of 8,000 in the next caravan. That still means we're missing maybe 7,000 unless there was a mistake made, and it wasn't ever 15,000. I don't know yet. I haven't talked with him, but we'll nail that down. But there's another 8,000 inbound, and we have that confirmed, and you guys are the first to hear it.
Great. So my guess is they're south going north.
Yeah, so what's the deal with Mexico? They apparently made an agreement.
I didn't hear that. Aaron, what did you say? They're south going north?
Yeah, they're in the south going north.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. I saw it.
So there was a report last week that Mexico had sent some folks into, I think, Nicaragua, one of those countries down there, to help organize these folks that are coming through. They were going to let them pass through Mexico, but they had to be orderly. And I thought that Mexico had made an agreement with the United States to keep these people from assembling on the border, and now it looks like they're helping them.
The brand new Mexican president has become a real supporter of President Trump and believes in a great economic relationship with America, unlike the former president, who was out and out Marxist. And so the new president of Mexico has listened to the mayors and the governors of several border towns, especially the governor of the Tijuana region. I don't know the actual name of the region, but the mayor of Tijuana. And they have met with him and said, this is a catastrophe, health and otherwise. They have destroyed Tijuana, all these people, and the citizens of Tijuana want them out and are working to get them out.
Yeah, because they've been interviewing him on the news. He's been pretty clear.
Well, Tijuana was never a thriving economic hub to start with.
No, and then to have this influx.
They're getting decimated.
We've got to take a really swift break. Now I have to be the fun killer. Look what Bill has done.
Great. I'll talk to her on the break.
We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Because we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly. And it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
Well, the eagle's been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me, and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure fooled you. We're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
Okie dokie.
And it did happen again.
I know.
Yeah.
It keeps happening over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Lyle, what do you think he's... Hey, this is one of those questions that probably can't be answered, but honestly, how do we get around this whole thing that it's not a crisis and that none of these things are happening? I mean, is that just give up on it and move forward?
No. I think... This is going to sound sophomoric, but I think the president needs to come back out and besides twittering, I think he needs to really not rally the troops, not rally the citizenry, but I think he needs to lay out exactly how bad it is and what's taking place here. Bypassing all of the reports, bypassing the extension of the Democrat Party, which is the media. I think he needs to do more than just going on Sean Hannity. I'm not trashing Sean Hannity, but go on Fox. A lot of people don't watch Fox. I think he needs to get out and really share what's taking place. I think once Americans who already have a good idea because they're living with it, take a look at the Gold Star moms, look at the Gold Star families that have lost people.
Look at just this past week, the angel moms.
I'm sorry.
Had their family members killed by illegal aliens.
Absolutely. Yeah, and illegal aliens that have been wanted. Illegal aliens that have been arrested 2 and 3 times, and were supposed to be out of the country. They're here.
Well, and for anybody who is kind of thinking that we're just, you know, chatting on about nothing, which, you know, okay, sometimes we do just for fun, but that's a real thing. If you just Google the Remembrance Project, Maria Espinoza has done an amazing job chronicling all of this information about American citizens who have been murdered by illegal aliens. So
yes,
just go look up the Remembrance Project. It's all there. So it is real. It is happening, and it isn't just a one-off, you know, a policeman in a town in California. This happens a lot.
It's difficult for Americans to come to terms when they look out their window, even if we're speaking right now, if they're listening to us, and they look out their window and it's a beautiful day, or maybe a nice rainy day, or whatever. Their countryside, their area, their viewing pattern, it's really pretty. It's calm. It's nice. It's familiar. There does not appear to be any threat.
It's not like Bruce on the train with drug dealers roving
right.
through the cars. I mean, that's
right. That's right.
That's what people want to see, though. They think it's not a problem if they're not watching these, you know, if this isn't in their town.
If it's not in their town, or if they're not, unfortunately, directly impacted somehow, then it's not a dire emergency, as everybody's talking about. Granted, you go to those communities where they have lots of history, they can tell you how bad it is and how real it is. But when you go to certain parts of the nation, that's still idyllic, that's still very home safe and appears pretty and all of that, it's really difficult for them to understand what's taking place on the border. I was speaking to a group on land. I was speaking in another part of the country, and I had a PowerPoint with me, and I showed them, this was a couple years ago, I showed them our border. I showed them the 65-mile portion of the border in Yuma. That's very solid and very strong, very sufficient, and has cut illegal crossings, I think, by 92-95%. Then I showed them other parts of Arizona where there is no border. There's a barbed wire one string. And sometimes that's even been snipped and it's just kind of curled up. And people just walk over it. I showed them ranches in Texas where there's a wall, but the ranchers have put ladders over their walls because the illegals coming over have broken their walls, have torn them down. There's so many, 100 a day coming over that day in and day out, they break the walls of these ranches, and the ranches are spending gobs of money to repair their walls on their property so cattle and other things don't get out. So they've put in ladders, and there's pictures. So here, come over here, climb the ladder, come over the wall. I mean, it's a lot easier than tearing down my wall. That's how bad it is.
That is pretty bad.
There's such an invasion that's a steady stream. Well, now you've got thousands. I just told you that we have a confirmed report of 8,000 plus. As soon as I'm off the radio, I will send a report to those that need to hear this or see it, read it. So we now have identified 8,000 in a brand new caravan. We're still looking for 7,000 more, and maybe that number's been boosted somehow. It's not a legitimate number. Maybe the 8,000 is the total. But that's 8,000 more.
Good grief.
We already have a backlog along the border of these people because Mr. Trump has put a stop to this, and yes, one or two get through because the border is a sieve. But you bring in another caravan of 8,000, We don't, and I don't, I haven't read the report yet from air surveillance. I don't know. We got kids, males. I don't know the breakdown, but 8,000 more.
Well, people think we should just reroute more immigration personnel and judges and things to the border so we can adjudicate all these people in.
That's part of his discussion that the president's discussing, a state of emergency, is to not just do the wall, but to hire border agents to come up with additional means besides a border, be it drones or other forms of technology that help seal the border, and then also the immigration judges so they can speed up this process. I think he wants to order, I'm sorry, he wants to hire anywhere from 44 to 100 new judges, and that would just help with some of the backlog. But that's still a drop in the bucket. So he is, the president is attempting to be humanitarian, but at the same time bring order to our border, which neither, no president has done since Eisenhower. Truman shut the border, and Eisenhower did. You go back and look, your readers, your listeners can go back and study that. They declared a border wall. They shut it down. Eisenhower sent the military along the border. So we've done this before, but since then, nothing. Ronald Reagan wanted to deal with border security, and he started to do so, and both Ted Kennedy and John McCain jointly came together, put a bill together in 1986, and sold it to the president and said, look, if you'll sign this bill, we'll go ahead and grant you your thing. They lied. He signed it hesitantly. They got those that were already here in the country illegally on a fast track to becoming non-illegal, but never did anything to secure the border. So they misled the president, and here we are all these years later still fighting that battle. So Mr. Trump has come into office, and he's made this a plank of his presidency, and I don't think he's going to deviate from it. I don't think the Democrats and even liberal Republicans know how to deal with someone like him, because he doesn't play by the rules. He's not a politician.
I always kind of laugh. It's like they've decided to play chicken with Evel Knievel. It's like, oh, wait, but that's the guy who never blinks.
Yeah, that's right, and that's the guy who kind of invented chicken.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm not sure that that's going to work out for them long term to wait this out.
I pray not.
And it is unfortunate. We've got federal workers caught in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah,
and
no one's going to win over this. I mean, the longer it goes on, everybody's going to lose. But
it has been, I mean, anybody who's ever, you know, is familiar with the Peanuts cartoon, it's always been Lucy with the football. You know, Charlie Brown always falls for it, and they yank the football, and he lands up on his back. And this immigration issue couldn't be more, you know, aptly pictured than that cartoon.
Well, it's finally at a point where it looks like it's going to have to be addressed.
Charlie Brown's like, I'm not kicking the football.
Yeah,
I don't trust you.
And I think he will get it addressed. One way or the other, I think it's going to happen.
Well, we're kind of hoping that that is sooner rather than later. We've got to take a really quick break because we were tardy on the last one. Tardiness is never good. We'll be right back.
Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in. Let me in. Immigration man. Can I cross the line and break? I can stay another day. Immigration man, I won't tow your line today. I can't see it anyway.
Ben, but I'm not.
That was in the olden days.
Yeah, I'm not going back.
Hey, share with Lyle the story of our medical professional who will remain nameless when she was in Mexico
was,
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2-3 weeks ago. She was on her way back from Mexico driving in a car, which I'm not sure how that happened, but her traffic got all backed up, and by the time she got up to where the incident was, there was a headless corpse in the road that they were taking pictures of, and trying to get straightened out. So, you know, it's a great place to vacation. Take your kids.
Tons of super things going on there.
Yeah. And you know, unfortunately, you know, we're hearing a lot about this now, but this has been a problem for a long, long time. We had a sheriff's deputy here in Shasta County. We're a long way from Mexico. But we had a sheriff's deputy here in Shasta County many years ago that was killed by illegals while he was transporting them. So this isn't something that is now just, you know, on the radar. It's been a problem for a long time. And that's why I think people are so adamant that it's got to be handled. It's got to be taken care of. Enough's enough. I don't know. You might see the yellow jackets come out in this country if something isn't done.
Well, you can't keep, I mean, it's great that we have all these different, we can do immigration reform and we can work on the paperwork and how that gets done and who gets to stay and what we do with all, but honestly, if we don't seal the border, it really doesn't matter. We're never going to be done. People just keep pouring in.
There's a picture of Mr. Trump sitting down in his chair, kind of leaning forward. I'm going to write an article sometime here in the next few days about this picture. And what it says is he's sitting down, he's in a suit, and he's pointing straight forward. And it says, they're not really after me, they're after you. I'm just in their way. And that is a profound picture and statement. That's in large measure what's taking place. I believe, and I've written on this, and it's been posted, and I'll be glad to send it over, but it's a couple of years old now. I believe the Lord allowed Mr. Trump to come into office at this time, because if not, already 2 years into this new presidency, we would probably not be on the air, and there would be just tremendous socialization sweeping this country, and for all practical purposes, the Constitution that our forefathers gave us would be liquefied.
Oh, I agree 100%. If he wasn't elected, if the alternate option got in power, you would be seeing a totally different landscape right now.
I believe so, Bill. I think people would be in jail. Conservatives would be in jail or some form of prison. I'm not a conspiracy buff, but I think we need to start talking turkey with people. I think the American people really need to stop just looking out their window, because it's a beautiful day and it's a beautiful view, and believing everything's all right. It's not all right. We're in some real trouble, and
no.
There are forces at work and are growing to collapse the United States of America.
Our
Constitution and collapse what we've known as an exceptional nation. The idea is to collapse our sovereignty, therefore get rid of the borders, no longer have the constitutional form of government we enjoy, and to collapse us into a new world order. And they are working diligently to move in that direction. And Mr. Trump came into office. It has still stunned them. They still cannot even bring themselves to believe it's happened. And they are committed to doing everything they can to remove him. And I think this picture that I hope to put on the top of an article I'm going to write really says probably more than the article I'll write, because they are after us. And your listeners can say that's, you know, funny talk or goofy talk or conspiratorial. I really don't care, because the facts are mounting up by the day, not opinions, facts. And unless the American public, like you said, Bill, rises up and starts putting on yellow vests, it may become too little too late. Over in France, Germany, Sweden, what was the other country? I just read something. What the yellow vests are doing is they're now going ahead and looking at collapsing banks. The economic situation in these countries are already destroyed, and so they're looking at collapsing the banks. I don't know how they're going to do that, but what they're doing is saying, we have nothing to lose. We are losing and have lost our country, and they intend to imprison us, and that is something that Macron said the other day. He was going to come out and imprison the yellow vest people. Well, there's a little bit of a problem to that, because a lot of the law enforcement people have joined the yellow vests.
Oops.
The military has not, but the law enforcement people have. And slowly but steadily, what they're seeing in France and what's playing out in other European countries is the citizenry of those countries is stepping up and saying, enough. We've had enough. We've already lost our countries in a lot of ways, and you all will not be satisfied until it's completely lost and we're collapsed into the New World Order. And that was made very clear with Merkel and Macron and the others who had been speaking to Trump. And that was the plan here. And Hillary was to fill it, to finish it off. And Trump's gotten in, and not only has he begun to put a roadblock up here in America, but he has breathed fresh air into even the new president of Mexico and other countries across the world, where now we have some leaders, not very many, we have some leaders both in political office and also as citizens stepping up saying, we are going to go down with the ship. If our country is going to go down, we'll go down with it. And if you think that is wacko talk or radical talk, then you really haven't read much about what our founders went through and our early citizens, because that's exactly what took place here in America when the King of England said, no, you will not put on yellow vests or anything like that. You will succumb to my orders and my dictates, and you will do it gladly. And about one-third of the American colonists said, we've had enough.
It was a very small.
And that's all it took.
It's a very small percentage of people.
But he's come in and really kind of reversed a lot of their progress over the past few years. And I think that's why they hate him. And now you're seeing the left doubling down. And that's why we have a shutdown. The other day, I don't know if you heard this, but the mayor of New York came out and said that if you're a landlord in New York and you're found to be taking advantage of your tenants, we're going to take your buildings away. That is scary stuff.
Like, really?
That's right out of communist handbook right there.
That's right out of Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah, we're going to take your buildings away. Really? Who's going to determine if somebody
determines a good landlord?
Yeah, exactly. And who gets the
property? That's a good point, Aaron, you made about Atlas Shrugged. That movie it's on Netflix or it's available. I would suggest to your listeners, go get it. Go pull it up.
I would actually like to it's probably because I used to be an English teacher a long time ago. I would like to force every American citizen who actually gives a rip about the country.
I was an English student.
What happened to your accent?
Atlas Shrugged. I would put that on your bulletin board and say, look, listeners, you really want to get serious about this?
You know, honestly, if you get some of the crud that's coming across the border, I hear you're going to be sick for a few weeks. So bust on to I wouldn't get the book in paperback because it's so big.
Oh, God, it's huge.
It's really hard to hold it. I mean, literally, it's difficult to hold the book open. To read for any length of time, but you know, like Associated Book Exchange or one of those, you can find the old library book copies that are terrific.
Yep.
But get a copy of that, because honestly, if you want to see what happens when they take this to its extreme, like right now in California, we've banned plastic straws. I think it was based on the hysteria of a 9-year-old, what I keep hearing. Some kid thought that was going to be a crisis, so he brought that with term limits, we just keep getting dumber and dumber politicians here in California. So, you know, those of you who think term limits are going to save you, look at the California legislature, because now they want to ban paper receipts. They actually had a guy at the bill. Okay, we're going to call it the bill unveiling. I just feel like we're looking at the clips from the movie Idiocracy. But at the little bill unveiling, the guy was literally wearing a giant bill around he had his head like sticking through it, and the bill was draped down onto the floor, and he's like, here I am, this is a receipt, this is what's polluting the world. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh yeah,
in California, that's like the biggest thing they're going to tackle.
Oregon's
right now
got a bill they're trying to get passed where you're not going to be able to buy more than 20 rounds of ammunition per month for you gun owners. So it's stuff like that that I
you
think
just start
is gonna,
looking at all this stuff, and it's
people
like,
are going to go sideways and just say enough's enough. I mean, it's
well in New Jersey, they passed legislation that all gun owners had to begin turning in their automatic weapons. And this was several months ago, and that it would be enforced. To date, not one citizen has turned in a gun, and law enforcement will verify that, not one. So, you know, all this talk is going on, but I think there will come a point where it will be forced upon Americans to decide, will you stand, even at the expense of possibly losing everything, to help save this nation, or will you just go along? And if you think that's just too harsh, that's what our early countrymen had to face in the colonial days. Will you stand against the king and against England, or will you just go along? And only one-third of the American colonists stood and said, no, enough. We're not going to live under the thumb any longer. So it's a remnant. And I think on our last show, Jim and I talked about that. It's a remnant, small numbers, that really are going to either rise up and get things done, or we're going to lose this nation.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It's I think it's really coming to that point, much like in France, where people are yes. are going to rise up.
I mean, when really you yes. When you start saying that that putting a border wall is immoral, we've gone to, you know, full crazy. And I mean, Nancy's pretty much full crazy on any given day anyway. But honestly, when you start calling border walls immoral, especially ones you've voted for in the past, wake up. All right, we're going to be right back with you. Talking to Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and you're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online.
Yeah, my blood pressure's going up.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
Of the Lord, picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed? And those who bear his name would only seek his face, yeah. And turn from their own way. And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray. Unborn children see light of day. What if the life that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed?
Ripping on Oprah there.
I know, a little shot at Oprah. But, you know, honestly, by way of solution, since we're running out of time here, that's something everyone can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, the church was heavily involved in a Revolutionary War. I mean, they were the leaders.
You guys are absolutely right. That's a fantastic song. I really appreciate that. If you go back and think, or if listeners think that American churches were not actively engaged in the Revolutionary War, they're sadly mistaken. The Black Robe Regiment were those pastors in the colonies that under their black pulpit robes wore the colonial military garb. And on every occasion when they took it off, they had underneath their black robe the Continental Army uniform, and they went and joined up with George Washington. That's not opinion, that's fact, it's great American history, it's something to read and study, because unless the churches begin to take their rightful place to support and defend the Judeo-Christian foundation by which this nation was formed and conceived, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose this nation.
No. And I think that, you know, when people, you know, I know that, it's frustrating to listen to sometimes the crazy stuff on whichever side you've decided to draw your information, but you should listen to the opposition and not just the clips that are played on your comfortable radio station or your comfortable television. Watch, you know, if you're us, you know, to get frustrated, we watch CNN. I listen to progressive radio on the satellite. If you have Sirius and you're a conservative, flip that channel to 127 every now and then. I mean, it'll light your hair on fire just a little bit. But honestly, when you listen to the people call in and you listen to the information they're getting, it really makes you understand how people wind up so horribly.
Yeah, if that's all they're listening to, that's why they're twisted on this thing.
Besides the fact they tell them that we make all this up, so, you know.
Our schools have not, for a good 20-plus years, they have not taught critical thinking. So not only has our history been dumbed down, but our entire academic programs have been dumbed down. Students are not taught to think critically through a problem. And again, our history has been, a lot of history has been removed from the textbooks. So they're not getting the real truth as to how this nation was founded, what it was conceived upon, what principles, our foundations, our values. They're not getting that.
No, in fact, critical thinking is really looked down on now in our, especially in our universities. You're a pariah if you step out of line. It's groupthink all the way.
But you know what? You can get through. You can get through college without coming out and being. Because I had a guy tell me yesterday, I wouldn't send a kid to college. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, like over 10, and they, you know, over 10 of them, and they've been in and through college, some of them in 3 years, with degrees in normal subjects, and, you know, nothing weird. And you know what? They didn't come out crazy. So if you have a solid foundation at home and you keep track of your kids while they're in school and you keep educating them and keep having the dialogue with them, don't expect them to get their information from the media or their friends or their professors.
Yeah, and prepare
them. You can get through that.
You know, prepare them for when they go out and get a job. We have one niece that just went to work. What is she, 16 now or 17? And she got her first paycheck.
I forgot about that.
She was flabbergasted. You know, who's FICA? You know, and what are they doing with my money?
That was my stepdaughter. Who's FICA and how did they get all my money?
Yeah. Just have no idea how the world. And, you know, that is an eye-opener for them. That's when they start to understand that, hey.
All this giveaway. Let's make everything free for everybody else. And they're like, wait a second.
I work for my money. Why, how come I don't get to keep it? Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know, we got to. Hey, I love the picture you guys sent with me on the tractor prior to the poll.
Yes.
Yeah, it's right there on the website.
I didn't realize we had that, but yeah.
No, it's right there.
Marvelous. Yeah.
We've shared it with everyone.
Just for the record, I don't remember, Bill, the tractor, the Kubota, being that shiny. I'm just saying, I don't remember that.
Kubota tractors are always shiny. You can't have a dull orange tractor. I mean, it's orange, for heaven's sakes.
Well, I just wanted to put that out there.
Better just blaze it out there.
I appreciate that, because you were pretty excited.
I got to tell you. That tractor is well built, and it ran like a champ, and smooth, and it took that pole right out.
Yeah.
And there goes your sponsor right there.
Oh no.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Back to John Deere.
And then also I sent you the briefing to the legislature.
Oh, the medical issues. I see it.
Okay, good.
Okay, I'll post that just so people know the medical issues. Medical issues we talked about earlier that are happening, thanks to the border. I don't know how else to put it, but I will.
Well, that's gonna. You want to talk about a crisis? If that continues and is allowed to continue, that's going to hit everybody in a bad, bad way. We've really got to get that under control.
I was telling Aaron earlier today, here, one reason Jim's not, actually the main reason Jim's not with us, other than he didn't get his paycheck this week for the show, is that in Texas, and people can look this up, there is an epidemic going around of upper respiratory infections, and the doctors are not able to treat it. And again, that's their public statements. There's a severe cough connected to the congestion, and people are down. I mean, they're down in bed, and they may get up for an hour, then they're down again, and it's going on for 7 weeks, eight weeks. The doctors have put out a call publicly giving some ideas on how to stay away from folks and how to do some things preventatively. They don't know what's causing this, but it's a 7-8 week sickness, and people don't get better, and they're coughing. The coughing is unbelievable. Some Robitussin, now this would be a good commercial break, the Robitussin D with the D seems to help the coughing a wee bit, but it doesn't make it go away. But that's about it. There's no antibiotics. There's nothing that the docs are prescribing or you can get over the counter. It's just time, and no one knows where it's coming from. It's some new form of bacterial, upper respiratory bacterial infection. We're going to see more like this. I'll say it. It's in my report. You're going to post that report. Feel free to do so. We've already seen an increase across the country, and that's because of illegals, and it can be traced back to illegals. This is not my opinion. This is the opinion of the CDCs, the American Medical Association, and others who are fighting this stuff front lines but keeping it all out of the media. But there's real, real serious concerns about the diseases that are coming this way. And that's not to be an alarmist, but somebody better start talking the truth about what's going on here, because there is a crisis at the border. It's not made up, and it's coming from 133 different countries. A lot of these people are not well, and a lot of them, most of them, do not want to come in here and become American citizens. So,
no.
There we go.
And I think people, I don't know, you know, if folks don't have any contact with any of that, it's easy to just believe what you're told. But when you look at when you look at those broadcasts, be asking questions in the background, you know, like Jim Costa. I mean, his was famous and will be famous for a long time. You know, look at this huge wall right here. Look how tranquil it is here. You know, there's no need for a wall.
Yeah, well, why is it tranquil?
It's like, okay, he's not even astute enough to realize that he's saying something that is nonsensical.
Well, it's going to get back to the same. It's the same thing. Until it affects you,
yeah,
that's correct.
You're just not going to be too concerned about it.
That's like your 16-year-old niece, I think you said.
Yes.
Bill.
Who took all my money?
She's got all these ideas, bless her heart, all these thoughts how the world should be. And then she goes and gets her first paycheck, and it's like, what?
Huh?
What is all of this?
Yep. Starts to make sense. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, reality.
Yeah, and that's when people are going to start really paying attention is when it affects them, and especially
it's
if it affects their pocketbook.
You're right. You're correct. It's unfortunate it's that way, but that's human nature many times.
No, it is.
My concern is it will be too little too late by the time people wake up. That is a concern of mine.
Well, the good news is we at least have somebody in the big chair who's willing to take the hits.
That's correct.
Thanks for President Trump doing that. And
thanks, Lyle, for coming on.
Lyle, we appreciate you.
Really appreciate it. It's always fun.
You guys are fun. I hope the listeners can put up with us because, you know, we've been doing this so long over the years that I think we take liberties. I just have a good time talking with you all.
I know we do, too.
I think our listeners enjoy it, too.
That's why we need to talk about a subject, don't we? Okay.
Yeah, you got to give us some focus. So on that note, we'll let Lowrider pipe us out. Yeah, yeah, your check's in the mail. Absolutely. All right, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.